Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
I love this magnificent place, not because the beauty of the building, though it's great, but because you are here. You make this place a home, a church. It's the people on the inside of it. And so I'm so grateful that you all are here this morning. Thank you. Thank you, beautiful worship team. Probably don't like to be called beautiful. There's probably handsome guys up there too. But y'all can take a seat. We are going to get right into it this morning. I'm just so grateful to our senior pastors, Pastors Jürgen and Leanne, who came from Australia and planted this church, because we get to sit and stand and worship and be a part of a church that was birthed in their heart, a God-filled dream in their life that came to pass, and we get to be a part of it. So I'm eternally grateful for them creating this healthy, beautiful environment that we get to call our home, our church. I want to thank our campus pastors, Pastor Drew and Emma, doing a phenomenal job here. But I also would like anyone that volunteers here to just stand up. Can you, if you volunteer, can you stand up? Let's give these people a huge round of applause. It takes an army of people to create and cultivate an environment like this. So I just applaud you and thank you for your heart, for your labor. We so appreciate each and every one of you. But I'm going to pray and we are going to jump right into this message. God, oh God, Lord, I thank you, God, that you are doing something special in the hearts of every person that is here this morning. God, I give over to you this time, Jesus. Lord, that you would do what you want to do in this place, that you would speak through me, oh God, the words that you have for each and every person that is here. Words that will shift and change hearts, that will have breakthrough in their lives, oh God, that will leave us different than how we came, oh Lord. Lord, I thank you ahead of time for the miraculous. I thank you ahead of time for the testimonies of people that are in this place, oh God. Lord, that will worship and praise your name and tell of the goodness of God in the land of the living. Lord, I pray right now that every word that is used this morning would not be mine, but would be you speaking through me today. In your name we pray, amen. Alrighty, I'm just gonna get situated here. We're gonna have a great time. Y'all ready? We're gonna get up close and personal today, if that's all right. I'm gonna share a little bit of my story throughout this message. I have to kind of just build the framework for this message. You're not just gonna find preaching, teaching points, but I think more than anything, if today you can capture the heart of this message, if today you could allow the Holy Spirit to meet you in this place, I really believe that the stories that I share today and the words from the Bible that are gonna be spoken, I pray this morning that it would really pierce and minister deep into your hearts. And so you may catch more things than our taught here today. It's not just about writing notes, but let the words sink deep into your heart. And I pray that they do this morning. I'm speaking a message called Heart Health. Heart Health. Okay. So just recently, I just got back from Italy. And I went on vacation. I've been working kind of in the marketplace for like 10 years, and then I've been in ministry for like 10 years. And I got to take this amazing vacation to Italy. My brother actually moved there. He and his family are missionaries there. And then hard place to be a missionary. It's rough, the Amalfi Coast. Those waves. Gotta be careful. And so there they are in southern Italy, and I had an opportunity to go on a vacation, just dream come true, and go and meet them there. And I loved a couple of things about Italy. First of all, I was like, oh my goodness, this all makes sense to me, because I don't know if you know this, I am Italian. Many people think that I am Latin because I lived in Ecuador. Y si hablo español, pensé predicar en español, pero hoy día dije que no hablamos en inglés. So many people think that I'm Latin, but I'm actually Italian. And so when I got to Italy, I was like, oh my gosh, everything makes sense to me here. They like stay up until 1 a.m. They start dinner at 10 o'clock. But here's the deal. They get up at like 9. Oh, Jesus. I was like getting saved every day there. I'm like, this was meant for me. No 6 a.m., not 9 o'clock. I can do 9. And so the other thing I liked when I was in Italy is I noticed that at night when people would have dinner and then they would hang out, and at about 10 o'clock, everyone would go to the center, like the central park or the center square of whatever city they are in. And I noticed when I was there that the older generation, the grandmas and the grandpas, they were all sitting on the benches, like chit-chatting with one another. The parents brought their kids out at 10 o'clock at night, strollers, children everywhere. And they're all the neighborhood kids are like playing. It was so cool. And then the teenagers are off being teenagers, looking too cool for school, you know, and they're like in their little area, but it's all done together. I just like that. I like, we need to bring back a little bit of that, that the sense of family. We need every generation. That's what I love about church, is that there's every generation ministering to one another. And so when I came back from Italy, I'm usually really good about like jet lag. Like I time everything like perfectly, and so that I won't have like really bad jet lag. But there's a 9-hour time difference from Italy. And also I think because I so embraced the culture when I was there, that when I got back, I had such a rough time, like, integrating back into this time zone. And so I'm going to tell you guys a story. Don't worry, this will make sense in the message, to make you feel really good about yourselves. Are you okay? I'm going to tell you a story about myself. You're going to feel real good about yourself. And so so I get back, and I got to be honest with you. I was, like, struggling. Like, it was, like, 7:30 at night here, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I am so tired. Like, I kind of came back and just hit the ground running and, you know, was working all through the day and meetings and everything. And then by 7:30, I'm like, oh, my goodness, I just need to put my head down for, like, a moment. I did that, and I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And then I couldn't sleep. And this kind of went on for a couple days, so I was, like, exhausted. And so one day I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take the blinds in my room and put the blinds down. The sun always shines through. And I live in a high-rise building, and so I usually have the blinds open. But so I decided for the first time to pull the blinds down. I left the window open to get some, you know, air in the place. And then I left for the day. I come back, and I walk into my room, and I have this big, beautiful vase with flowers on my windowsill in my room. And this thing had smashed to the ground. Like, apparently the wind must have hit the blinds because, you know, I left the window open. And there was just shattered glass everywhere. And I've got to be honest with you. One would think, you see a mess, you would clean it up immediately. But I was so exhausted. I literally just looked at it. I just stood there. Oh, and I'm not even kidding you. I just pretended it wasn't there. I ignored it for like 2 days. Yeah. And just so you guys know, I am a tidy person. If you come to my house, like everything is in its place. So this is not normal for me. I am not a clutter person. But I was so tired. And so I go there and I'm like, oh, too difficult, like too hard. I'm so tired. And I even put flip-flops in on and had to like put them on to get to my bed to not have the shards of glass pierce me. And then I simply just shut the door and walked away for like 2 days. I finally got around to cleaning it up. But I got to thinking, isn't that kind of how some of us live our lives? Trauma happens. Experiences that, you know, that happen either to us, that maybe we didn't even willingly participate, and yet life happens, and trauma and hurts and pains, and these things kind of happen to us. And just like that vase with broken glass everywhere, that's the state of our heart. And instead of dealing with the shards of glass, instead of picking them up in the moment that they fall, we just shut the door. We pretend they're not there. Those experiences, maybe they happen, but maybe let me stuff them real down deep in my heart, and let me pretend that those things never existed. You guys, I waited 2 days to pick up that vase. How many of us, how long do we wait to pick up the pieces of our heart? How long do we wait to stay in that position of brokenness and sometimes, sadly, never even want to go close to one of those shards of glass? Today I want to talk about the things of the heart, the health of the heart, because I have found that when we do this, when we leave wounds and hearts and pains undealt with, exposed to the elements, then we are in a state of not being able to truly heal. And we live our life from that place. I kind of found that this is like a perfect place for the devil to target, is it not? We are vulnerable, we are hurting, we are in pain, we've got things that have gone on in our life, and so this is a perfect area for the devil to target. And so that's why today I wanted to speak about this. So today, during this even just these couple minutes that we have, can we take stock of our heart? Can we just put a pause on life and the busyness that has happened outside the doors of this sanctuary? Can we just stop and pause and begin to reflect, what is actually going on in my heart? Are there things that I maybe have stuffed down and not taking a look at? Let's take a moment today through this message, just assess where we actually are. The Bible says this, and it's kind of the context for this message. Proverbs 4:20 through 23, it says this. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Another version says, it determines the course of your life. It's so important to address the things of our heart because that course direction is directly related to the state in which our hearts are operating. So number one, cultivate an atmosphere for our heart to thrive. Cultivate an atmosphere for our heart and our soul to thrive. I put that vase in an unsafe environment. Do we sometimes do that with our own heart? We place ourselves that could be extremely dangerous, but we think, well, it's all right. I'll just kind of deal. I kind of think we've got to cultivate atmospheres and places where the state of our heart is lifted up. I think about a place like this, the church. What a beautiful place to plant our lives. What a beautiful place to come each and every week in an atmosphere of faith, in an atmosphere that is uplifting. Because I don't know about you, but for me out in the world, like the bent is not optimism. The bent is not victory. The bent is not faith. So I got to come in here every week and get a dose of the faith. The people uniting their faith together, right? I kind of think about it, you know, like this. Because here's the thing. When you come to church, it doesn't actually mean, just because you come to an environment of faith, it doesn't actually mean it penetrates your heart. It's actually a choice to have your heart open, right? That's why sometimes you see people, no, not in this church, this would never happen, but sometimes in other churches, you would find that people come in week after week and some people have breakthrough, healings, all their life seemingly just goes up, up, up. And then others, it's like life has stayed the same. Why? Is the message different? Is the atmosphere different? No, it's the same. But perhaps that person hasn't cultivated that environment on the inside of their heart to receive, to hear the word of God and let it actually minister to our hearts. This happened to me. I know, like, when I was a kid, I grew up in a Christian home, and so it's actually very easy if you were raised as a Christian for this to actually happen. I remember, like, when I was a kid, I was like, throw my hands to heaven and, you know, fully just embrace the things of God. We fully believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and we function in them. From a kid, I was speaking in tongues, and that's a whole other message that we will get into at some time. But I can remember that. But then as a teenager, all of a sudden, I was like, I don't know. And I came to church every week. My parents were pastors. There was not a choice. So I went to church every week. But it was my decision if the words and if what was spoken in that atmosphere would actually come in and change my heart. The only difference was the state of my heart. So it's really easy to do. So we need to cultivate atmospheres. And look, I'm preaching to the choir. You all are here. So good job. You're here. You're receiving. You've got hearts that are open. So well done. I feel like we need to keep an atmosphere of praise and worship. Even better than that, we need to become praise people and worshipers. We're going to worship something, so let's worship God. Let's cultivate that in our lives. Let's cultivate the Word of God in our lives. Let's read the Bible and allow those words to sink deep into our heart. That's our choice. What we read, what we meditate on. I find that if you fill your heart with the good things of God, it leaves a whole less room for the devil to have a playground. If you're so busy cultivating a life with God, then there isn't time to address the nuisance that is the devil, right? When we are concentrated on what God has for us and cultivating that life. And it doesn't mean that those things don't happen. It just means that our focus is elsewhere. Okay, number two, expose and admit the areas of brokenness we are working through. Expose and admit the areas of brokenness that we are working through. Sometimes we need to just take a step back and, like I said before, assess our life. But can I say this? When we do that, let's do it with God. We're not alone. We don't have to, this is the beauty of our salvation, is that when we address our heart and we address our wounds and we address the things that have happened to us, we do that with God. So the moment we're going to face something, the moment we decide, let's get vulnerable and open and let the light shine in this area of our heart, let's do that with God. Let's invite him in. David did that in the Bible. It says this in Psalm 139, 23 through 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. I believe the beginning of healing is actually the openness, the admitting to that there's something going on. Something's actually happening. And so we have to admit that to start the process of healing. But when we do it with God. And I love what the Bible says, is that it doesn't say, see if there is any offensive way within me and lead me to destruction. Like, God is like, search your heart, do it with me, and then let me lead you to everlasting. Let me lead you to hope. Let me lead you to victory. Does that make sense? We're doing good? Everybody's with me this morning? Okay, good. And here's the thing. Don't let the circumstances of your life become so overwhelming. Sometimes we are like, okay, I'll totally address that part of my heart. But where do I begin? Like, there's so many areas. There's so many things going on. Can I just say to you, just choose one. Just start there. Start with one thing that is happening that you realize, man, that's really preventing me from the life God wants me to live. Start working on that one thing. And when you do that, if you're like, man, I don't know where to begin, then seek good counsel. Go meet with a friend, meet with a leader, get wisdom maybe and the direction, get some education around that specific area. Just do one at a time. God isn't overwhelming us. He's not asking us. He's not even asking us to change. He's simply saying there's a place that you can grow to. There is healing for you. So we just choose one thing at a time. Do you know that this church has created environments for breakthrough? This church has created environments to expose truths and actually walk you through those things. I feel like, you know, that's why we have ministries to minister. We don't have ministries just because we need something to do. We have ministries that will minister to each and every one of us. The women's ministry, the men's ministry, things that happen there are all geared towards ministering deep into the heart. What about connect groups? Connect groups. What a beautiful place to open up and share your story. What a beautiful place to take a first step, get real vulnerable, and actually share with a person what's really going on. Not the facade, not who we just smile and pretend like everything's okay. All of us have stuff going on. I'm going to share my story in a minute. We all have things that are happening, but can we just find a person of wisdom, a godly person? You find those people in Connect Group. That's what the church designed, a place where you can work out your salvation, where you can work out the things that have happened in your life. The altar, such a beautiful place. The altar, we call this space the altar. And many times at the end of messages and services, we open up this altar, and I see sometimes people hesitant. Like, hey, I kind of felt like that word was for me, or I really want prayer, but I don't know, maybe I shouldn't go to the front. Can I say, put that foot forward? If you feel any type of connection to a message or to breakthrough, sometimes the reason why we go to the altar is to meet with God, but then also stand with someone that will stand and war on your behalf, that will pray with you, that will stand in a place of victory when you're like, I don't know how to deal with this. They're like, that's okay, I'm going to pray with you. I'm with you. You've got a church family. We're not people that just want to stand by and smile and in you go and out you go. No, come to the altar. Come to the place where you can go, hey, I maybe don't know. I may be hurting, but can you stand with me? And there's beautiful people in this church that are going to stand with you for breakthrough, that are going to pray with you when you don't know what to pray for, that are going to lead you and that are going to guide you. We got to use this space. Sometimes we seek wisdom from a friend. And don't feel bad. Like, sometimes, like, buy your friend a meal and then talk about your stuff. I preface that. You should be paying if you're talking about your stuff. Just saying. You know, invite them to something they like to do and let them know ahead of time, I want to talk about some things. So it's not a sideswipe. It's not like, oh, we were going to Six Flags. Now what? Like... Let them know, hey, I got some stuff. I want to talk about it. Can I take you out to eat? Can I do something that you like? Can we go for a walk? Can we, whatever it is. I don't know, men, what you guys do. Go wrestle or something. And then talk about your ish, okay? It's all right. Can we do that? We're going to have a bunch of people wrestling soon. It's going to be awesome. My next point, guard your heart. Point number three, guard your heart. Let me explain some differences about walls and guards. Guarding your heart is different to building a wall. When you guard something, you have control over what you allow in and what you allow out. A wall is just built. A wall is there. A wall is not a soldier. A wall is not a guardian. It's not someone who's exercising control and allowing in and allowing out. That wall is just there. It doesn't even take people. It's just there. So we got to be careful that when we talk about the guarding of one's heart, we're not talking about walls that are that we can't get through or that people can't get through or that God can't get through. I'm really familiar with walls. So I can speak to this. I think even from a kid, it was like this bent that I had. And it seems kind of funny. As a kid, my mom was telling me this story about me. Oh, my goodness. And she's like, Stacy, when you were a kid, she's like, I remember this time that you went out to the park and all the neighborhood kids were there and something had happened and they didn't want to play with you. Like, they were really mean to you. They didn't want to play with you. And then you just came home and I asked you, oh, my gosh, Stacy, like, are you okay? What's going on? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And they're like, but you know what those kids said? Like, it was really rough. It was, you know, hard. Like, they didn't want to play with you. And I was like, I'm so sad for them. I am so much fun. Like, I'm so sad for all of them. They are so missing out on the best fun of their life. And I literally just turned and was like, I'll make more friends. And my mom was like, well, I don't have to worry about her self-esteem. She's going to just be just fine out in the world. And that was kind of okay as a kid, but when you grow into an adult and you keep doing that same thing, was there not a part of me that did want those kids to play with me? I'm sure there was, but it was easier for me to just turn, build a wall, and choose another friendship. That did kind of okay in my kid life, but didn't serve me well as an adult. I can remember that, you know, when things kind of came against me and hurts and pains and traumas and things came, that was my bent. I would just go, you know what? Too hard. On to the next. And I didn't even realize all these walls that were building up on the inside of me. And so I remember years ago having a minister come through the church, and he really ministered in the area of deliverance and healing. And I came forward, and he said, and I just came forward just like, God, whatever you want to do in me. And then he's like, Stacy, you're living a life where you've made inner vows that you'll never need anyone. I'm like, what? I need lots of people. I don't know what you're talking about. How wonderful is that? Don't do that when we're telling you those things. I'm like, the minister's like sharing a word of knowledge. I'm like, no, I don't even know what you're talking about. Took me some time. I did marinate on it. He did pursue me as well to ensure that this breakthrough happened. And I believe it was God pursuing me through him. And I remember taking time and actually realizing, wow, I have created walls in my life. And I had to take time to grieve the things that happened to me. I had to take time to forgive people, to forgive myself. I had to start the process of allowing myself to even feel again. How sad is that? I find we're one of two things. Either we're crazy emotional crying messes, or we're kind of like how I was. Like, I didn't even remember the last time I had cried. That's a wall, not a guard. And so I had to get through that process of being able to experience and feel and work through the things that happened to me instead of just erecting a wall. Does that make sense? And so we have to understand the difference between guarding our heart and not building a wall. I kind of really was asking myself about this. Why is it that the devil really attacks us in this area? Why does the devil really attack our thoughts, our minds, our hearts, those things that mean so much to us? And so I just began to like kind of do a little research, and this is what I found. I found that we are made up of body, soul, and spirit. So the body allows us to relate to the physical world around us. The spirit allows us to relate to God and the things of the spirit. And then our soul allows us to relate to self. Now, soul is our personality, our distinctives. It's our internal nature. It's our will. It's our emotion. It's what makes us a unique individual. It's our moral compass, our consciousness. And I find that this seems to be the area that the devil is always attacking, right? Because the other attacks are obvious. It's like you have a physical attack. You're like, okay, that's a physical attack. And we have to war for those things. We have to battle for those things. So don't get me wrong. But in this area, it seems to get all chaotic when it comes to the area of the soul. And I found this, that the heart is the centerpiece of the soul. This is why the devil goes after us. And here's what I also found. It's the part of us that never dies. Our physical bodies will go away, but our soul, our heart, it lives on forever. That's the eternal part of us. I was reading a commentary and it said this. It said this about Adam. Adam, when judgment was pronounced upon Adam for sinning against the Lord, it was his body that was judged to go back to its original elements. Genesis 3:19 says, "By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." The spirit was not judged on that day. The spirit was not judged. It was said dust to dust. It was because the spirit was breathed into Adam by God. The body became dust, but the spirit went elsewhere. The Bible teaches us that we have been made for eternity. It says this in Ecclesiastes 3:11. "He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end." Eternity has been placed on the inside of our hearts. So why does Satan go after it? Because he's going after our eternity. He's going after the very thing that is our eternal state. And here's the thing that I found. I found that when the devil is so relentless on the attack and the war of our mind and our heart and our emotions, that sometimes we get so tired, we just can't ever fight anymore. It's like when I walked into that room with the vase broken and shattered, I was like, too hard, too difficult. I'm so weary. I'm so tired. And so I just was lulled into a sleep. Doesn't that happen to us sometimes? It's like the attack of the mind, of the heart. I'm so tired. I don't want to deal. And so we can give ourselves an out to give up. And maybe, look, we keep our salvation. Maybe we do really go, okay, Jesus, you died for me and you rose again and I believe that, but I'm too tired to deal with everything else. You know what's sad about that? Is we live in a state of suffering, but so do the people around us. When the devil can wear us out, he's actually stopping us from ministering to those that surround us. When he goes after our eternity, he goes after their eternity. And so if we're so exhausted, then we have no time, no wit about us to be able to minister to the others that surround us. So I thought, that's why the enemy goes after us so hard in that way. Unaddressed hurts, pains, destructive lines of thought, patterns of behavior, habits, eventually will lead us to a life of no impact to those that surround us if they go unchecked. We have to have heart checkups. Let me share with you a story about myself. I know what this is like. I know what it's like to have all these attacks launched at us. And sometimes doesn't it feel like they're all launched at like one time? You're like, oh my gosh, this thing and then that thing. I really felt that way. I can remember a couple of things that happened in like a span of like 2 months. I remember, this was a couple of years back. So this is while I was a Christian. It's actually while I was a pastor. And so that doesn't exclude us from anything. We're all people. And so I can remember during those 2 months, I remember my mom calling me and out of the blue said, "Stacy, I need to tell you something. I've been diagnosed with cancer." Like, what? It just throws you for a loop. You know, what? There you are. You're out there ministering to the masses. You're healing the masses. There's miraculous things. There are missionaries in Ecuador. And yet there's a full-fledged attack on her health. And then right after that, about a week later, I found out about an aunt of mine, my sister, or my dad's sister, had unexpectedly, like super unexpectedly passed away. Like literally the week before, she had told us she was sick and then she was gone. And she had died from cancer. And so I was like, oh, and so then that happened. Then in that same month, I kind of turned the other corner and I found out that there was a fraudulent loan on the deed of my house. And everything that I had saved and the equity that I had built in my home was now going to be gone. That fraudulent loan so it wasn't something that I did, but was done to me. The finances were going to go away. What I had saved for was going to go away. And then at that very same time that all of this is happening, I was in a committed relationship and it began to just kind of escalate downwards and then we broke up. And I was just left in this state of pain and hardship. I didn't know how to think. I didn't know how to process all the different types of pain, all the different types of trauma. And so I was just left in the state of, oh God, I was like shaken to the core. Anybody ever felt that way? I remember during that time what it felt like to walk into my house and not want to go out the door. I remember what it felt like to want to get in bed and put the covers over me and just stay there. Too difficult, too hard. And I thank God now looking back that during that time, I had cultivated some things in my life that would serve me well during that season of hardship and trauma. And I'm sharing it with you because I pray that you also can take on these things and work through whatever it is that you're working through. My pain, my traumas could be completely different to yours, but we can utilize the same tools to get breakthrough. Amen. I had to address my feelings and emotions because remember I told you about the healing that I had about a year earlier with learning how to break walls down? When I started to go through that stuff, I went, you know what? I'm not going to do it the same way I did before. I'm not just going to put a wall up and never love again. I'm not just going to put a wall up and just not think about, you know, my mom and cancer. And I'm not just going to put these walls up. I am ready. I am prepared to walk through them. Just like we heard from Pastor Drew this morning, walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It is a shadow. It is not death itself. It is just a shadow. We can have breakthrough. We can have victory. God did not leave us in that state of brokenness. And so I remember I had to choose to face each day. I had to choose to go to church as a pastor every week. I had to choose to face people. I had to choose to minister to people when my own heart felt like it was in a million pieces. I had to choose to align my thoughts with God thoughts. That every time I felt these words coming to me saying, just let it all go, just stop, too hard. And how cunning the devil is that when we begin from our soul to speak those thoughts about ourselves, that he comes alongside and he begins to amen those thoughts. He's like, yeah, you feel that way? Let me add some more onto it. Yeah, you shouldn't minister to people. Look at you. Look at your life falling apart. How dare you believe for somebody else? And you saw these things begin to build. And I thank God that at some point I stood up and went, no, devil, you will not have your way. I'm going to believe the God thoughts about my life. And here's the deal. I'd love to tell you that I won every battle, that every day was bliss and rainbows, even through a time of extreme hell. But the truth was every day, sometimes minute by minute, I had to war in my thought life. Sometimes I won and sometimes I didn't. But I made a choice to get back up every single day, to have God thoughts come on the inside of my life, to replace evil for good because God had a future and a hope prepared for me. Had I not gone through those things, I wouldn't be able to stand up here today and speak about them. Had I not gone through those things, I wouldn't be here today being able to minister to someone else that may be going through pain, trauma, hurt. And you know, here's what I found kind of during and after that time. This is what I found. I found this, Proverbs 17:17. It says this, a friend is always loyal and a brother is born to help in a time of need. Do you know that when I went through that trauma, when I went through that pain, when all of my life circumstances were threatening to take me out, you know what I realized? Friends were born that day. There were people around me. There were people that I thought maybe they're friends. But when I went through adversity, friends were born. We gotta let people in, folks. We gotta let them in. They're there waiting to be a friend to you. They're waiting to stand in that mess with you and believe with you. They're waiting to do that. People are born, friendships are born out of adversity. If we're just happy, clappy, we pretend that life is just okay and we never let anybody in, then we never get to see the true art of friendship. I realized in that time, my God, I have friends everywhere. People were coming out of the woodworks. When I wanted to cry myself to sleep, they came over and just stayed there with me. When I didn't want to leave my house, they would invite me out and make sure that I went. Friendships were born that day. Psalm 34:18 says this, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Psalm 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Psalm 23:3, he refreshes, restores my soul. He guides and leads me along the right path for his name's sake. Do you know that I found in that time that people were there in the wings ready to minister, ready to become friends. I also found a beautiful God that wanted to step into my mess, that wasn't there to hurt me, to take from me, but was there to walk me through it, to lead and to guide me. I realized that Jesus is close in our time of pain and hardship. When that vase broke that day in my room, I let it sit there for 2 days. Sometimes we can look at our lives and never choose to pick up the pieces. But I thank God that every one of you are part of this church. I thank God that each one of you are going to make that good choice to step out in faith and not to let this 1 day, 2 days, months go by, but stop and address the state of our heart. Allow God in, allow people in, so that what may look like shattered glass can be restored. I can go out and buy a new vase. God can bind up our wounds so that we are made whole and so we can go bind up somebody else's wounds as well. Amen? Three things I did during the process of my healing. One, allow God in and help him and let him minister to you. Two, allow godly people in and allow Jesus to minister to you through them. And three, when we have an ill thought, a fear, an anxiety seeking to try to keep us in isolation, replace it with not just a good thought, but a God thought. My last point, and as I come to a close, number four, let hope fill your heart. Let hope fill your heart and your soul. The Bible says this in Psalm 42:5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Sometimes when we address the state of our heart, do you know that we have to tell our soul to get in line? Feelings can take us all over the map. When I went through those things, my feelings were all over the place, but what I could stand on was the word of God, was the hope of God. I could tell my soul to get in line with God's thoughts. Never give up. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:16-18, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. so we don't look at the trouble we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last forever. There is hope, my friends, in Jesus. There is victory in Jesus. There is a place in God that regardless of the circumstance and the situations that we all have gone through, that we can stand up, that we can put our hands to the heaven, that we can worship our God and live a life of not surviving, but thriving in the name of Jesus. Can I get everyone to stand up, please? Can you just close your eyes and just begin to worship God in this place? In the few moments that we have left, can we address the state of our heart? Can we ask ourselves the question, how am I doing today? What's gone on in my heart and my mind? Let God speak to you about that thing that you've been trying to wrestle to the ground. Let God speak to you about that battle that you've been facing. Let God speak to you about weakness and weariness maybe that you have felt. You know that babies don't work hard to change. All they need to do is be well cared for and they will grow. We don't focus on change. We just focus on growth, the state of our heart. If we put some of these things around our heart, if we put some care around these things that matter, then we will simply grow and grow and grow into everything that God has designed and have for us. If you're in a place today and you don't know about this Jesus that I've been talking about, maybe you kind of have heard about him or you know about him, but not in the way that I talked about, not in the way where we have invited him deep into our hearts, where he stands with us, the Bible says, forever. If you want Jesus, if you want the Holy Spirit to fight on your behalf, we've got to invite him in today. And so if that's you in this place where you're like, you know what? I've been living life my own way and it's been tough and it's been hard and I feel that weariness, but today I want to make a really good choice and I want to invite God in. If that's you today, can you lift up your hand real nice and high? Because I just want to stand with you and I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you that your life will never be the same again as you place your life into the caring arms of your Savior. And if maybe you have done that for a first time, but you've just found yourself getting disheartened and kind of, you know, like me, maybe not even be able to feel anymore or feeling too much, if it's time to ask God in again and renew and restore that faith within you, can you just lift up your hand real nice and high? I want to pray with you. I see that hand. Wonderful. I see that hand. Awesome. Come on, this is the day, right? Why wait another day to invite the God of the universe to stand in victory with you? Praise God. Anybody else? Just lift that hand up to heaven. Praise God. Praise your God. God sees you. He knows you. He cares. He cares about every anxious thought. He's there to minister to you. For those of you that have put your hand up, I'm so proud of you. Your life is never going to be the same again. God's stepping into your world. And as the service ends, I want to ask you to come forward to the altar and we're going to have someone pray with you and lead you in that prayer of salvation. And right now, as the service ends for the rest of us, we're going to have the worship team begin to play a song, and I'm going to ask the ministry team to come out here in front. And I'm going to ask you to do something that we talked about, get real vulnerable and actually step out and let someone stand with you and pray with you. Maybe you'll expose for the first time in a long thing, that thing that God brought back to memory that it's now time to deal with and to walk out. The people that are here at the front are not here to judge you. They're here to get victory with you. And we've all gone through our stuff. So we are so humble when people open up and share what's going on with them. So I'm going to pray a prayer over all of us. And then as the worship plays, I just want you to come forward and get the prayer that you need today in the name of Jesus. So ministry team, can you come forward, please? God, oh God, Lord, I thank you for these people. And if this is you, if you're going through something, could you just lift up your hand? And I'm just going to pray with you. And that should be many of us go through stuff. God, oh God, Lord, I thank you for every person that is here this morning. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you do not leave them where they are, but you are ready, oh God, to minister deep into their hearts. Today we declare breakthrough in their life in the name of Jesus. We declare, oh God, hearts that are healthy towards the things of you, oh Lord. Lord, I thank you right now that you're ministering deep on the inside of them, oh God. Lord, that you are even closer than a friend. God, you're like a brother. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you are meeting them right there, that you are speaking to them, that you are ministering to them. Oh, God, we release your presence in this place. We receive of you, oh, God. Oh, fill our hearts afresh and anew, oh, God. Lord, I thank you that you are doing a new thing on the inside of us, oh, God. I thank you that no one here will live a life of isolation and fear, but that that would be broken in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, oh, Lord. Lord, that you are ministering, that they can live a life beyond their wildest dreams and expectations, because that is the kind of God that you are. Can we lift up a shout of praise this morning in this place?
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.